Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
And the Emmy goes to
The Rich Eisen Show.
No deal.
This manifesting thing stuff, it's starting to really work.
I've been nominated for Best Studio Host.
Yeah, you have. Oh, man, I'm a believer now, Chris. You think things and you put them out in the universe, and they happen, man.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick. Coming up, 14-year NBA veteran Muggsy Bogues. Alabama football head coach Nick Saban. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got Muggsy Bogues slated to call in shortly. He's got a new book coming out, so we'll talk about that with our friend Muggsy Bogues. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, and we'll take your phone calls. Nick Saban's slated to call in here in hour number two of this program. And then the comedian Gabriel Iglesias will be joining us here on the program in studio. So we've got lots of laughs in store for hour number three. Chris Brockman is where he is.
Hey, Rich.
And Jay Felly is in Mike Del Tufo's seat once again. And TJ Jefferson is where he is right here on the program. We had Michael Vick on in hour number one. If you missed it, at youtube.com/RichEisenShow. Be part of the now 400,000 subscribers. We passed that milestone yesterday, and we're greatly appreciative of all of our subscribers to take in all of our content. Michael Vick was on in hour number one. He worked out with Kaepernick yesterday. He says that Kaepernick wants to do it. He's said it over and over and over again. And that Kaepernick looked good. He said Jarvis Landry was out there as well. A little juice.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt.
Is he still
free agent? Yeah, he is.
Okay.
I think people were expecting him to be in like Green Bay or something by now.
But I hear you. Nope. You were pushing for a poll question, and
I was pushing for a whole segment.
I relented. Go for it. Poll questions lead to segments, sir.
I understand.
It's a gateway.
It's a gateway. You're right. Well, Derek Carr this morning signed a massive 3-year, $121 million extension. So, you know, that immediately puts you under the microscope, in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, you had the Raiders in your top five AFC teams yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I was throwing out which quarterback's under the most pressure for 2022. Hit us up at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter to vote, or give us a call if you want to chime in. Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott.
And Dak Prescott was added by Michael Vick. We gave him a choice. We said, because we were formulating this, we're like, you choose. You're the quarterback in this conversation. But who's under more pressure, Dak or Patrick Mahomes? And his answer was Dak. And I found it very interesting why he said his answer was Dak. He said all the Cowboys fans put a lot of pressure on expectation level. And we happen to have one of those right here.
I see a flag, a helmet.
You're to blame.
T-shirt.
I'm not, because I'm one of the ones who say I don't know why we always talk about Dallas. Of course, you put any Cowboy in a poll, good or bad, he's going to win it just because the Cowboys, everyone has an opinion.
I wouldn't choose
him.
You
either like them or you hate them, but you have an opinion.
How about that? I wouldn't choose him.
Well, you did say when Chris first brought it up, you did say that.
I said Dak over Mahomes in the equation.
Okay.
Tua was the other one I was throwing out there. He's probably under a lot of pressure.
I mean, I just feel like this. Outside of, like, Cowboy fans and certain people in the media, like, every year the Cowboys are in the contention talks, but do you really expect the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl?
And like, again, the pressure that I keep saying is I don't see how Aaron Rodgers feels it. I just don't. I don't see. I mean, I think he definitely hears what people say about him.
But Mike Vick says but that quarterbacks do feel pressure.
What if then he's making diamonds then out of it, back-to-back MVP seasons. And then you could say the pressure got to him in the playoffs, where he missed a receiver towards the end and missed some receivers, or he came out like a house of fire and was about to put two touchdowns to start the game on San Francisco, and his tight end fumbled. And then when the snow starts to fall down and it gets colder, the running back that they drafted in the same draft as Jordan Love, leading to everyone say, why'd they need him too? That guy and A.J. Dillon goes out. So if I had to choose on that list, it's Rodgers, it's Dak, it's Derek Carr, and it's Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, 22%.
That's who I would vote for. Yeah. Now, he might not feel pressure either, but he's the one who had been clearly looking over the steering wheel and seeing his professional road veering away from Seattle. And he was a guy with the Seahawks that we were hearing rumblings about not being on the same page anymore as far back as Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold's draft in Dallas. 4 years ago, we started catching wind of that conversation. Don't be surprised if Seattle sneaks into the first round and takes quarterback. And we'd be like, what are you talking about? So he's been eager to see what happens. He's gone from, in the same way that we talked about it with Russell Westbrook yesterday, how a change of coach for him here, where he's going to go from a guy in Frank Vogel, who he feels he needed to explain to, like, I don't know why I needed to prove myself to this guy, to whoever's coming in and coaching will definitely look at him, if he's going to be there, and say, I need you. You're my guy. Different situation. Now he goes from a head coach who clearly he has a loggerheads with. Clearly, something was going on there. Absolutely, something was going on there. And now he goes to a spot, and Nathaniel Hackett is just like, welcome, sir. We got you. I'm so psyched at my press conference. I'm a new head coach here, and we're gonna hang out together. We're going to win together. This is going to be us together. And he's got to now do that in a spot where expectation levels are so sky high that yesterday when I did name my top five teams in the AFC, and I didn't include the Broncos, but I included every single other team in the division, you're telling me that I'm getting lit up on
stay
on
out of
socials and
stay
such
out of the Denver area foreseeable future, at least for the rest of the week.
That's why I'll vote for Russ in that situation.
Also, Rich, you know, the Broncos, there were talks that Aaron Rodgers might go there earlier, right? Like people thought,
yes.
And they gave up a ton because they thought they had a good enough offensive line, good enough receivers, running back, defense. So, yeah, now that Russell's there, you got to take that pressure and put it on there. People... It's Super Bowl or bust, I feel, for the Broncos. That's how I think the fans are feeling.
That's a little bit... No.
You don't think that...
Super Bowl at some point during Russell's tenure?
Yeah, maybe not next season, I'm saying, but like I feel...
Right.
Yeah.
But we're talking about just for next year. Coming out of the gate, new team, new division, and talk about pressure, I think he's going to be the visiting quarterback of the first game when the Rams raise a banner and the Broncos are on the Rams schedule, and I think the league is going to choose him and they to go first to Los Angeles. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. He's got a new book out called Muggsy, My Life from a Kid in the Projects to the Godfather of Small Ball. Muggsy Bogues is here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Muggsy?
I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
How you been?
How you doing, Rich?
Look at you with
I'm
a book.
Doing fine.
Look at you with a book. You got Steph Curry and Alonzo Mourning to write forwards for you, too. That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, some of the impact that I had on their lives, you know, so we had to put it down on paper. But I'm just so fortunate and blessed that I'm having this opportunity to put it out for fans to kind of get a behind the scenes of what my life's been all about.
What's your relationship with Curry, Muggsy? What is that?
Well, Stephen, you know, me and his dad played 11 years together, 9 in Charlotte, 2 years in Toronto. And Steph, being a kid around us for all those years, you know, been like a little sponge. I mean, he was, you know, as a kid, he just always wished that he could just get the 5'3". He felt like if he get the 5'3", he could make it to the pros by watching me doing my thing. So that was an inspiration for him, and I think the impact that I had on his life and his career, I mean, he always speak highly of me.
Well, I got to tell you, Muggsy, I mean, just seeing how long you were in the league, 14 years, and at your height at 5'3", and, you know, we had Charles Oakley on here. He had a book coming out about a month and a half ago, and just the relish he would talk about putting people on their ass when he was there, and Mahorn and the rest of the league the way it was. The fact that you were amongst those tall trees, how tough was it for you, Muggsy, back in those days?
Well, I don't think it was any tougher than me than it was for anybody else. You know, as a player, as a competitor, you know, you're out there just trying to prove that you belong. And for me at that position, you know, trying to break down those barriers and let position, regardless of the size, is all about the skill set. And having that mindset allowed me to kind of just continue to keep competing with the best of them out there. You know, the mindset I always had, I play against the best and have success against the best. I need to be included with the best. And taking that attitude night in and night out allowed me to play against the best girls in the world.
So, who? I mean, you must have been told so many times you couldn't, right? There's no chance, right?
Every aspect of the way. Nobody really believed that I was capable of doing what I was able to do. You know, because back in those days, you know, coaches wanted big guards. You know, that's the mindset, big guards running my program. So trying to break that barrier down, trying to, you know, be out there to impact the game the way I was able to do, you know, that was the only way I was able to get across and get the people to believe that I was capable of playing on that level. And that's why I say having success against the best, playing against the best, you must be included with the best.
So who are you proudest to have achieved against, Muggsy, in your career?
Well, it's not one individual. It's just the whole journey, you know, to being able to overcome all the naysayers.
Like Jordan, you didn't have any times with Jordan out on the court and you beat him crossover or something like that, Muggsy? You got to have something for me on that front.
Right? Well, you know, Jordan was the biggest trash talker of them all out there. And playing against, you know, he didn't play my position, but of course, we came across one another during the switches, and he always had something to say in terms of when he tried to go against me. You know, I think the biggest thing is the one that's pretty evident is when we played him in the playoffs, and he trying to back me in. And of course, he talking about, little fella, I'm about to do this, and of course, I'm telling him to bring it. And unfortunate for us, you know, it was unfortunate for us, we got an illegal defense called on us.
Oh, illegal defense! Get out of here!
yeah. That's they got that now. I don't know if they had it back in this day, but they had it back in our day.
Yeah, no, I remember that, the illegal defense. So he's backing you down, and he was calling you all sorts of choice words, Muggsy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But you know, I was standing my ground. Of course, you know, I stripped the ball from him.
Okay.
I stripped the ball from him.
Very good.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. So how'd you wind up in Space Jam? Is that how the illegal defense gets called, and that's when he invited you to be on Space Jam at that very moment in time, Muggsy, right?
Well, the Space Jam was happened to be, we all had the same agent. And, you know, at the time, I didn't think I was going to be able to do the scene because of my knee. I had just had surgery. And they had Tim Hardaway come out there and kind of read my lines. But once I got out there, and I guess I was able to read my lines, they created an opportunity where, because I couldn't walk, so I was able to fulfill my obligations with my lines, and I wound up being on the movie.
Well, Muggsy, look, man, your phone keeps cutting in and out, but I'd love to have you back on at another time. And you know, your book's going to come out. Maybe when it comes out in on paperback or something like that, we'll maybe get you in studio or something like that. But in the meantime, it was great to have you on the program, and good luck with the book.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Sorry about the connection.
All good. That's Muggsy Bogues right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody go check out his new book. His new book about his life and times and being the godfather of small ball. My life from a kid in the projects to the godfather of small ball. Muggsy Bogues here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. And when we come back, none other than Nick Saban, the head coach of Alabama football, going to be joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I am praying to the gods he has a landline. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So, make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, telling a story about Jim Ward Jr. Telling us a story when he was a head coach of the Falcons, wanting to get Michael better and wanted to see if Michael was really into the idea of being better. Michael Vick gave him a disc, a DVD of all the plays you need to take a look at. And Vic handed it back to him the next day saying, saw all these things, guy, coach, I'm on it.
It looked great.
And he opened it up, and the $100 bill he put in the DVD case was still sitting in there. He didn't look at it. So when Vic is saying, hey, you know, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd focused on this. I wish I'd focused on that. That's what he's referring to. You know, he was clearly not focused on the professional side of things as much as now he wishes he had been. And then just talking to him about Lamar Jackson and how Lamar is just his own unique self. And he has none of those off-the-field issues, obviously. It's just the question is, when's he going to take the bag that's being requested of him by the Ravens?
Offered.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they've offered anything. I don't know if they've had anything like here's on the table and he's left it there. I don't think it. I think it's just like when can we talk about it?
When can we talk about it?
When do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, true, true.
Maybe they should just throw all that money on the table.
Like Breaking Bad.
Like Breaking Bad. Like take them to some sort of, you know,
the storage unit.
Storage unit.
Hugh unlock it.
Yeah, find Huell and Bill Burr.
Because Huell's got the key.
They can take a nap on it, there. And then let's go.
Yeah, where's Huell? Huell's still sitting,
he's
right?
He's still laying
He's
there.
Waiting, man.
Any day now.
He's still sitting there, right?
Yeah, is Huell going to show up in Better Call Saul? I really hope so.
Well, I mean, the word is after Giancarlo Esposito left here on Friday is that Better Call Saul's final season's episode will have both, right?
Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston. Mm, yeah, I did see
boy,
that.
Boy, I can't wait for that. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, pleased to have back on here after sending 11 players from his top-notch program to the Combine. Yet another draft season for a man who we're pleased to have back here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the Alabama Crimson Tide football head coach, Nick Saban. How you doing, Coach Saban?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We are hanging in there. What is your day in April, 2 weeks before the draft, look like? Walk me through that, Coach Saban.
Well, we're in spring practice, so you know our process here is focusing on rebuilding our team from you know last year's team to next year's team, and you know off-season program, spring practice is you know prime time to try to do that. So this is our last week of spring practice, so that's where our focus is we do everything we can to help our players who are going out for the draft, but we also have to, you know, do everything we can to develop the players we have on our team now.
And can you already see Bryce Young and a potential step up, improvement, anything like that? Can you already see that in an eye test on a field right now?
Well, Bryce played, you know, fantastic for us last year, and you know, he's had a good spring, but you know, spring sometimes is a bit of a work in progress because you know, we lost some starters on offense. I think we had five back, but we had three more, you know, that were out with injuries from the season. So, you know, we had a lot of young guys playing, which is really good for the development of your team. So his leadership and the things that he's done, you know, this spring to help those guys develop has been probably as good a contribution as you could expect from anybody, but he has done extremely well himself.
And what did he, do you think, take out of the national championship game from that experience?
Well, you know, look, you know, sometimes you don't have very good luck, and Georgia had a really good team, but we lost both of our starting corners in the last two games, and we lost both of, you know, our best receivers that will both get drafted fairly high probably, and you know, you always want to have guys that can guard their guys and have guys on your team that they can't guard. And when those two guys went down, you know, all those mismatches kind of went the other way. And they pressured the quarterback a lot because we didn't have, you know, great skill guys outside that they were afraid they couldn't cover. And that made a huge difference in the game. So, you know, I thought he played well, but I didn't think that, you know, the guys that got an opportunity at receiver when – you know, J-Mo got hurt and Mechie was out, that they were ready to take advantage of their opportunity.
And coaches that I've gotten to know and speak to in my time, Coach Nick Saban, as they get deeper and deeper into their careers, the losses sit and last longer emotionally than the wins do. Where does something like that sit with you, a last game like that?
Well, it's not just about me. It's about the players on the team. I mean, you want this team who worked hard and, you know, made great investment and sacrifices to try to do the work necessary to have a great team to be able to succeed in the end. And the disappointment comes that, you know, they're all disappointed that they weren't able to, you know, finish. They did a great job of winning the SEC championship and getting in the playoffs and just, you know, ran out of gas against a really, really good team in the national championship game. And, you know, some of the losing some key players probably contributed to that, but they still put their heart and soul in it. And I appreciate their efforts, but I also feel bad that we couldn't do more to help them.
Seven-time national champion head coach, Alabama football's Nick Saban here on the Rich Eisen Show. How is Jameson Williams faring right now? I know he wasn't able to participate physically in the pro day that you just recently had, but how is he?
He's doing great. I mean, you know, his surgery was very successful. You know, sometimes when you have ACLs, there's, you know, other complications that go with the knee injury that can, you know, sort of be a little bit of an inhibitor when it comes to rehab. He and Mechie both, you know, had just clean ACLs that are very fixable. And both of them have done really, really well in rehab. And I think both of them will be, you know, ready to roll for the season.
And so what about Evan Neal as well? There's nothing about him that isn't so off the charts impressive, including, I mean, when he was walking around the combine, Coach, and I saw what he weighed and what he looked like, I didn't think human beings could have that sort of proportion to me.
Well, you know he has great size, but, you know, he's a fine young man, has a great attitude, great work ethic, you know, can probably play, you know, all four line positions because of his size and length and power. And so somebody's going to get a really good person and a really good player, whoever decides to pick him.
So, well, how much does your phone ring from coaches in the NFL these days talking about your guys?
It rings. I just got off the phone when I started talking to you. So, okay.
How was Bill then? How was Bill?
How Bill Belichick?
Hey, I just took a stab. That was one of the 32 right there.
That wasn't him. He was here for pro day, so we spent. Okay. You know, he was here for 2 days actually, and got to spend a lot of time with him. So we do a lot of our talking face to face if we get the opportunity.
Okay, so you just got off the phone with an actual head coach in the NFL then?
Personnel, general manager, you know, defensive coordinator. You know, they all. And you know, being in the NFL for 8 years, you know a lot of people. So people that know you usually call because they figure, you know, they'll get a little better answer than somebody you don't know. But we do everything we can to help our players. They've done a great job for us. And, you know, most of their goal is that they can play in the NFL someday. So, you know, the best thing for them is to get a great opportunity. The best thing for us is that they do well with the opportunity. So try to do everything we can to help them.
Nick Saban here on the Rich Eisen Show. A quote that clanked around quite a bit amongst all of the media came from Dabo Swinney up in Clemson. I'm wondering what you think. He said, quote, "I think there's going to be a complete blow up and restructuring of all of college athletics, especially football, and there needs to be." And that was based off of a conversation he was having in regards to NIL. Would you agree with that assessment of the sport, Nick Saban?
I think there's some concerns in the direction that we're going. I think it's a combination of things, probably. Name, image, and likeness is a great concept, and it's very good for the players, and I'm all for it. And I think the whole idea of the concept was that players had the opportunity to go out and create opportunities for themselves and use their name, image, and likeness to make money. Well, we all got to work when we went to college, so I didn't see anything wrong with that. I think where it makes it crazy is people start these collectibles where you raise money, you know, from your alumni to basically support a marketing group to pay your players. That's creating opportunities, and I don't think that was anybody's intention. And if you use that to enhance the transfer portal to get somebody to come to your school or to get a young player to come to your school, then, you know, I think that's where, you know, there's some unintended consequences of, you know, what the original good idea of name, image, and likeness was really intended to be. So, and I think that that's going to create a little bit of an unfair playing field. Everything we've always done in college is, you know, try to be equal, so you have some kind of equal parity, competition, whatever. So will there be some changes? Maybe. Do I have the solution? No. But I think that it's a little bit of the wild, wild west right now, and I think that's what people are trying to, you know, bring under some kind of control so that we don't let things get away from us, and it doesn't impact opportunities for other students. I mean, there's a lot of student-athletes that get an opportunity to improve the quality of their life because they play college tennis or softball or golf or whatever. And those aren't revenue sports, but they're sports that, you know, people gain opportunities, and hopefully we can keep the integrity of college sports so that they all continue to get opportunities to compete as well as, you know, improve the quality of their life by getting an education.
Well, how does this adversely affect your program? Because, you know, I'm sure those who heard your answer or when they hear it will say playing field, you know, Alabama, obviously, you know, you have won more than you have lost. How does this affect Alabama and affect your figurative playing field, Nick?
Well, we're doing everything we can not to let it affect it. So we're going to try to adapt and do the things that we need to do so that we can continue to look. Our whole program here is about developing a platform to help people develop personally, academically, and athletically so they can have more success in their life because they were involved in the program. And so developing a career off the field, developing a career on the field, those are things that we've been really, really good at. So we're going to continue to try to focus on those things. Because the long-term value that we can create for a player is much more of an asset to the future of players than what they're going to make in name, image, and likeness or whatever. So we're going to continue to, you know, have an excellent platform for people to be successful, and we'll adapt and do the things that we need to do to be able to continue to be competitive.
And your colleague up in North Carolina, we had Mac Brown on this program the other day, Nick Saban, and he said players are walking into his office and saying, you pay me this much in NIL, I'm coming, and if not, I'm going. Does anyone have the temerity to do that to you at Alabama, Nick Saban?
No, I've kind of set the parameters with our players of, you know, what's happening. But I think that's really not – look, if anything is – impairs a player's ability to focus on development personally, academically, and athletically when they're going to college, then we need to fix it. And if people are doing what you just said, I don't think they're focusing on their development. And they're focusing on where can I make the most money. I'm not sure that's what college student athletes, you know, should really be focusing on. And I'm all for them getting what they can get. You know, our players made almost $3 million last year in name, image, and likeness, but they earned it. You know, they earned it because they were good players that worked hard. They had a great image and reputation because of, you know, who they were and what they were able to accomplish. And that's what we wanted to continue to be.
Nick Saban here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the couple minutes I have left with you, sir, Tua in Miami seems to have a heck of an opportunity right in front of him, where Tyreek Hill has just been added. You know, Cedric Wilson from Dallas brought in, and we all know, you know, what Jaylen Waddle can do. What do you think Tua can do under these circumstances in a former place of your endeavors, Nick Saban?
Wow. Kind of interesting that you would ask about Tua. He's having a luau, which is a part of his charity program, which I'm going to actually see him tonight.
Okay.
So, look, Tua's a great person. He's a great player. I think, you know, in the right system with the right people around him, he'll do extremely well. You know, he obviously played, you know, great when he was here. And if it wasn't for, you know, being a little unlucky with some injuries, he probably would have done a lot more. So always excited to see our players do well, and I'm very confident that he will do extremely well in Miami as well.
Do you think this is Bryce Young's last year for you? Are you entering this year under that assumption, Nick Saban?
We don't make assumptions, you know. We don't you know, we're doing things day to day. You know, we're going to do everything we can to help Bryce Young be as successful as he can be. And if he's going to be a first-round draft pick next year, you know, we'll be the first ones that encourage him to take advantage of the opportunity. So, but again, our focus is on his development now so that he can create that kind of value for himself and his future. And, you know, I don't spend a whole lot of time answering hypothetical questions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And I think that's, you know, pretty hypothetical question you just asked me.
Okay.
So we're just kind of focusing here one day at a time.
Did I just introduce rat poison into this equation? I'm sorry if I did that.
Yeah, to some degree you did, but that's okay.
I do love that phrase. I don't know. Where'd you get that one from, rat poison? Where'd you get that one?
It's a psychological disposition that, you know, people read and hear about how good they are.
Yes.
You know, develops complacency, which develops a blatant disregard for doing what's right, which helps you create bad habits, which means you don't play as good. So it's poison in the mind. So you can make it any kind of poison you want it to be. And on the other side of it, sometimes when you get criticized, it, you know, you respond things the right way. So, you know, there's some good rat poison.
Yeah, I heard you say that one year, just last year, right? There was good rat poison.
Yeah,
coming into the national semifinal. There was good rat poison for you guys,
yeah,
or something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, like that.
But you know, ideally, you'd like for people not to be motivated or complacent but have enough internal motivation themselves to want to be the best that they can be, that they wouldn't be affected by either one of those things that we just talked about.
Okay. Do I see you in Vegas? Are you in Las Vegas, or you're not? Will you be physically?
I don't know. I don't know which one of our players are going. And
right.
You know, so my son's getting married that weekend, so it's a little tight with Miss Terry and how we can organize things. So I'm not sure what's going to happen to the.
Okay. Well, I
haven't got my orders yet.
Okay. Well, my best to Tua. I do hope I do get to cross paths with you in Vegas, and always appreciate your time on this program, Coach. Thanks for the call.
All right, Rich.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. You
Have
bet. A good
Thank
one.
You. You too. That's the head coach of Alabama football, Nick Saban. I got called out for the rat poison, but I did get a very good response as to what he considers rat poison.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay. Is all of that.
Interesting.
Oh, man. I mean, he's got it all working.
He does. <It's> just... There's no reason to ever leave or ever stop. The machine will keep going forever and ever.
And that's the high end of the high end of the high end in any sport right there. Greatly appreciate him calling in.
That's great.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's talk Raiders. Let's just talk about the Raiders when we come back. I got on them yesterday. I got them on. I'm on board. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. What was yesterday's date?
Yesterday was the 12th. Today is the 13th.
April 12th, 2022. The day I officially got on the Las Vegas Raiders. I want it noted.
You're in.
I decided yesterday, top five teams in the American Football Conference.
You went for it,
I sure did. Left the Titans out. They were the number one seed. Left the Ravens out. Lamar's coming back healthy. Left the Browns out, even though they got Deshaun Watson. Left the Colts out, even though they were on the outside looking in of the top seven last year, right? Could have made it. Left out the Denver Broncos, who just improved greatly with Russell Wilson, right? Left out the Dolphins, who have done a ton to surround Tua with talent, including the head coach, Mike McDaniel. Left out those teams. Heard from a lot of people on those fronts. Sorry. Put the Chiefs fifth because I like Patrick Mahomes. I love Travis Kelce. They're still there, and I figure this is a draft still to come. Don't forget, I'm doing this before the draft. So
a lot could change?
A lot could change in the draft. Lots can change. Baker Mayfield's going to wind up somewhere. And he's going to have a huge-ass chip on his shoulder. And I don't know if that team's going to be in the American Football Conference. It's probably not going to be. But bottom line is, I took the Chargers, put them at fourth, and then I took the Raiders and put them at third. I made them the third-best team in the American Football Conference.
Baby.
That's a team, as we all know. As we all know. Hey, guys, you tell me this. You tell me this.
Finally.
No, hold on a minute. I know you're a Raider fan, Jay Felly. You tell me this. You tell me this. Raiders gave the Bengals run for their money at home, didn't they? In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Came down to some final plays.
It's by the way, penalty, right. Final play.
Some guy stepped out of bounds, threw a touchdown anyway, right?
Yeah.
with the whistle being blown and all that business?
They would have scored anyway.
Look, Raiders. the Raiders were. I think at the end of their run last year, the way that they were going.
Yeah,
they played great with their interim coach. The fact that they did what they did last year with Henry Ruggs and John Gruden, and you know, different ends of the spectrum as to what would be termed a distraction. But they had a decision to make after they bounced my friend Mike and told Rich Bisaccia thanks for the run and reached into the New England system where Josh McDaniels was apparently the heir apparent to Bill Belichick. Now there's really no apparent, and there is an heir on the team legitimately for Bill and his son. We don't know if that's the football heir. But you just, again, put it all together. They had a decision to make when they took Josh McDaniels. What about Derek Carr? And I left the combine hearing that the Colts were all over the Raiders like the proverbial rat on cheese, like the white on rice, okay, to go get Derek Carr.
Interesting.
That's what I was hearing, because it was apparent Wentz wasn't coming back there. That's what I was hearing. And it would have taken a lot, I would think, to go get him. And they didn't have a first-round pick. And I'm wondering if that might have had something to do with it. That if for the right price would the Raiders have done that, started from scratch, and instead they went in the complete opposite direction and shocked the world by acquiring Davante Adams, of all people, and hooking him up with his old college teammate. And it's amazing. Kind of reminded everybody of just where Derek Carr came from and how good he was in college and how he slipped down to the second round despite being as good as he was in college. Maybe it's because it was a Fresno State program that sent his brother to the league as number one overall, and he didn't perform very well in Houston, or it didn't work out as well for him in Houston. And they were just taking that and putting it on him. And we kind of also forgot the Raiders with Jack Del Rio as the coach made the playoffs 1 year.
And Derek Carr had a really good year.
And they made it as a wild card instead of the division winner because Carr got hurt at the end. And they ran out of people to use. I mean, they started Connor Cook, man, of Michigan State in that playoff game that year. Lost to Houston. And we all have carped on Derek Carr, and I had my say about it when Gruden took over. Gruden's favorite quarterback was somebody else's quarterback, you know, or Gruden's favorite quarterback was the next quarterback. That he's constantly churning to find another quarterback, never happy with the quarterback that he has, wants a more veteran quarterback than the one he has. And you know, knock on wood, if you're with me, he kept on keeping on with Nathan Peterman. But
I'll tell you about Nathan Peterman.
But Derek Carr, the last couple of years, has been a terrific quarterback. I said the words. And they got Darren Waller, and Darren Waller, you know, made the most of his opportunity, but who's throwing him the ball? You know, Hunter Renfro, first in Renfro. He's the guy's moving the chains. Who's the one moving the ball? Derek Carr. Now then, he has now officially been pizzed, though.
Ooh, baby.
3 years, $121 million. You can do the math. That's $40 million a year. He's number four in your program, and that four now leads his annual salary.
Pay that man his money.
They did. They did. In Las Vegas, where I believe Teddy KGB might have spent some time in his day. Just assuming. And I like it. They've gone all in on the guy, haven't they?
Derek Carr has four straight 4,000-yard passing
seasons. Derek Carr is definitely the best quarterback in the NFL who is being described as the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's got some competition in that department, right? Cousins? Kirk D. Cousins?
I mean, statistically, right? Kirk had a great year last year.
Understood.
Nobody likes that dude.
But I think what Derek Carr does is something that doesn't show up on a stat sheet. He spoke so eloquently after Henry Ruggs killed that poor woman and her dog.
Yeah, he really did.
He spoke so eloquently when John Gruden disappeared, or was made to disappear, however you want to put it. Poof. He's a leader, man. That guy is a leader, and he takes it in the chops, too, on the field. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of dig it that he's – they're all in on him. Didn't you think when Josh McDaniels got hired at some point in the meeting, everybody thought, it's just like, I can't win with that guy. Let's figure out what to do with this guy. Fair or not.
But kind of like we said at the time, Rich, like who are they going to go get? That could be better than what Derek's done in the last.
I don't think there was anybody available to do that.
Right.
But you hear the way that this guy gets referred to across the NFL, and it's never, you know, even top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He's paid like one now. So it's time. And I like what they did with Chandler Jones on the other side of Max Crosby. And I like the guys that Mayock has drafted and left behind, by the way. I would just, again, love a list of who Mayock wanted and Gruden took, or Gruden took with Mayock's opinion, or Gruden just took and Mike had nothing to do with. I don't know what the answer is to that. But they've got a quarterback who can deliver it to somebody like Davante Adams. How many first top overall quarterback receivers wind up getting moved, let alone moved to a spot where the quarterback who's already there has a chemistry built in? Just blow off the dust. And there it is. I bet you they're already on the same page just like it's been yesterday.
I mean, I hope so.
Davante Adams is Instagramming out and putting on a story, you know, Derek Carr sitting in the shotgun seat of his car. I love Josh Jacobs, man, whose coach we just hung up from, college coach. I love him when he stays healthy. Kenyon Drake behind him.
Also, Adams is from that area, right?
Huh?
Isn't Adams from the Bay Area, so he's kind of going home, too?
I just love what they're building. And by the way, Daniel Carlson, you know how I feel about kickers.
Kickers.
How good is he, by the way?
Yeah, he had a good year last year.
He sure did.
You want to do top five QB wide receiver kicker trios in the NFL?
Triplet. Use the word triplet because it is a triplet.
Well, it's not the triplets, but you know.
It's a triplet.
It's a triplet.
It's more Kirk triplet? Any other triplet?
It's a trio. It's a triad.
It's more Jeff triplet. I should stick around. I should stay in my lane. But I'm just saying this. This is my reasoning behind putting the Raiders in first place in the toughest division in football. And I think the belief in Derek Carr, surrounding him with not only the top talented wide receiver in the NFL that nobody thought was available, and now they've paid him, and they've paid him that respect, and Josh McDaniels is going to dial it up. That's why I chose the Raiders. That's why I'm on the Raiders. I'm on them.
That's why.
I might go down with the pirate ship, but I don't think I will. And by the way, I'll be in Vegas in 2 weeks. You can buy me a drink.
Rich, speaking of Josh McDaniels,
I'll take it. What? You're laughing about that?
No, I'm not. I'm jealous that I'm not going to be in Vegas with you consuming beverages that we get for free by Raider fans.
On the arm, as they say.
Yeah,
in Vegas.
On the arm.
Speaking of Josh McDaniels, in hour three after our next guest, there's a little Bill Belichick sighting that I was privy to, and I want to share it with you guys next hour.
Oh.
I had to send something into the guys at home. So after our guest.
Okay, very good. And your phone calls. And Baker Mayfield has spoken on a podcast. And his comments, my two cents on all of that.
You going to see Brent while you're in Vegas?
I don't know. I should reach out to him.
I mean, you guys should do dinner for sure.
Draft night. I should do dinner night with Brent. Oh, great idea.
If that's the case, I'm flying in Thursday.
Okay.
Just to come.
We could just drive, Chris. You know, too long of a drive.
TJ, I don't drive to Vegas anymore. I'll drive.
I'll put the mattress on the roof of the Bellagio for
done.
You.
By the way, Rich, done. And it was at Caesars, but it's done.
Oh, Caesars.
Done.
I'll take a closet.
That's right.
Couch.
Okay.
But we got to get back for work the next day.
Bellagio is where the draft set's going to be out in front of.
Are you picking up the tab for dinner, though, if we come
for
out?
For who?
For me and Chris.
For you?
And Feller.
I mean, yeah, sure. Why not?
I mean, it's Brent's hometown. He's got the tab.
Oh, that's true.
I got that right here.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, should
you? Yeah, sure. Why not?
There you go.
What?
That's my guy, Cannavale.
Why not?
Gabriel Iglesias is about to come out here, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious. Man,
this guy's amazing.
His third Netflix special and his Dodger Stadium show is going to be part of that. How about that? Oh, he's going to the, he'll be in the Mirage this weekend. What's that like, you think?
Amazing.
Playing Vegas three nights sold out. What's that like?
As someone who's been like kind of behind the scenes, yes, for those types of trips.
Great, right?
It's amazing. Just bananas. The energy is off the charts.
Also, it's like when you have a crowd of people, right? And I picked up on this, obviously, when you watch any sporting event, just saw it at wrestling. But when you have that many people, man, and they're there for you, yeah, and you're controlling them with, like, yeah, that feeling has to be
amazing.
The
dude,
most incredible
doing
feeling.
Doing stand-up
in the world.
Comedy like I did back in college in just small rooms and just making everybody laugh, it's great.
Yeah, and you weren't selling out Dodger Stadium.
And then when they don't laugh, it's freaking miserable.
It's the worst, right? Well, I don't think he has many of those nights, so.
That's good. That's good. Coming out, everybody. Coming out. Like Brent.